CIUT 89.5 Toronto.
And this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and with me is Phil Conlon.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Today we're going to talk about, among other things, Phil, you're going to, about 15 minutes, we're going to talk to you about the labor movement. At the top, we're going to talk to Otis Richmond, who spoke the other night at a different book list, 779 Bathurst, about the great Walter Rodney, who was assassinated, I think the year was 1980. And he was an outstanding scholar and activist from Guyana. And I'm very glad they had that forum. We're going to talk to Otis about it. And at the halfway point, we will talk to Zafar Bengash, Crescent International, about the whale of a crisis around the government of Saudi Arabia and the man named Khashoggi. I suspect Zafar Bengash, who has written a lot about the, and predicted the downfall, he said, of the title of his book is The Doomed Kingdom. So he's going to be really happy to talk to us about this. But we're joined now by Norman Otis Richmond. Are you there, Norman?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Very good. We're glad to be talking to you. Last week you were a part of a forum panel at a different book list, 779 Bathurst, and it sounds like a very exciting event. I'm sorry that I was not able to attend it. Let's start with your contribution. Tell us why, well, first of all, they were having this event in the name of Walter Rodney, and then what your thoughts were.
Well, this event was to commemorate the 50 anniversary of the banning of Walter Anthony Rodney from coming back to Jamaica. Walter Rodney was one of the speakers at the Black Writers Congress in Montreal, Canada. It was a very successful conference, and everyone from Kwame Ture to many people were there. And Walter came there from Jamaica, and they would not let him come back to Jamaica.
Wow. And why? What, did they state why they weren't allowing him?
They thought he was a subversive. First of all, go back to 1968. The conservative party was in power at that time. Mm-hmm. Edward Seaga's party was in power, and they were basically anti anything progressive, especially socialism, Marxism, Leninism, and so on and so forth. So Walter was able to come to Jamaica and make a impact on. He taught in the universities, but he spent a lot of time in the trenches of the society. And he wrote a book called "Groundings with My Brothers," and there were a few sisters there. But he would go into the deprived areas. Mm-hmm. As I guess as Elvis would say, he would go into the ghetto. And
a word, by the way, that seems to have disappeared from the language.
Mm-hmm.
Who decided to get rid of that?
That's a good question. But Walter went into the community, the oppressed community, and taught class. Basically talked. Mm-hmm. He taught classes, and he would listen to people, and he was very, very popular. So they did not want him. Basically. Mm-hmm. They just use that as an excuse to get rid of Dr. Walter Rodney. And I know a lot of people. Like, there was one speaker at the event named Alyssa Trott, and she's the head of the Caribbean Studies Department. She's also Guyanese and many years younger than Walter, but she knew Walter as a kid. And I met her many years ago, about 30 years ago, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that always amazed me was she never referred to Walter Rodney as Dr. Walter Rodney. She always referred to him as Wally. And all of the people that I knew, I never heard the Dr. Walter Rodney. All I heard was Wally. He was, he didn't.
Didn't put on airs, I guess.
He didn't put on airs. He wasn't into, I'm doctor and I went to school and I made the sacrifice, so you honor me by calling me doctor. Yeah. He just called him Wally.
Well, he was quite a successful man in politics. Unlike most scholars who try to be activists, he was pretty good at it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he lived on five continents, and I met him in I met him two times. I met him in Toronto, Canada. He came into the Contrast office, and then I met him. I was slipping, as they say, I was slipping into darkness. I was underground, and I came to his house in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But the first time I met him, he came to he walked into Contrast. He was with Horace Campbell. Mm-hmm. Dr. Horace Campbell, and he and Dr. Horace Campbell were arguing or debating about Roberta Flack.
About Roberta Flack?
Yeah, and...
Well, now we're getting down to it.
And Walter Rodney was yay. He was saying Roberta Flack was the greatest thing since sliced bread, not just because she was a great singer, but because she had done many, many things. I think when Bob Marley was shot, well, I don't think I know, when Bob Marley was shot, at one time, as most people will know if they do some history, Bob Marley was shot, and he had to go underground in Jamaica first, and he did the One Love concert. But during that time, Roberta Flack flew to Jamaica to basically be at the concert, but they actually took her to where they were hiding Bob Marley before he never left the country until after he did the concert, the One Love concert, and Roberta Flack was taken to him, and while he was under distress, and I think she has, when Bob passed away, when he was sick in Florida, put it this way, she and Bob had a very positive relationship. They knew one another, and Roberta was.
So to Walter Rodney, this was proof of a solid person. This is the evidence of her great quality.
Yes, and the other guy, Horace, for some reason was not impressed with Roberta Flack. And then the second time I saw Walter, like I say, I was slipping into darkness, as the war said, and I was with some more people who were also under the radar. And we came to his house in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I can remember his son, his oldest son, who was named Shaka. Mm-hmm. And I think Shaka is living in Barbados now, but he was running around the house in diapers. And
And now he's a doctor.
I don't know if he's a doctor, but I know he lives in Barbados, and he's doing quite well. Walter had three children, two daughters and Shaka. And academically, his wife, Patricia Rodney, I think she's in Atlanta, but they're all did quite well academically and
He's Guyanese. Has the family, are they not any longer based in Guyana? Have his children living outside
think,
the country?
I don't think anybody in his family lives in Guyana. UC Quiana, or it used to be called Sidney King, he was in San Diego for many years. I met him.
Is it considered still dangerous for them, you think?
The government changes from time to time, but I don't know. UC Quiana, who used to be named Sidney King, he was with Chetty Jagan and Forbes Burnham in 1953, when the country was independent, and he was forced out of the country. And he, first of all, he had to move to San Diego, and his wife was an African born in the United States, born in America, and she passed away. And then I think UC right now is living in Atlanta with his sons.
Mm-hmm. This panel and your role in it, did you take up different aspects of his writing? I mean, he was a great scholar. He produced really some important theoretical work.
Essentially, it was a list of trots. Being Guyanese and known Walter Rodney, I guess as a child, she basically delivered. I guess you could say the keynote speech, and she. basically talked about, you know, what type of scholar activist he was, and the fact that he, like I said, he taught on five continents, and he came back to Guyana in I guess 74, and I met him in Ann Arbor. He was teaching that in Ann Arbor, and he also taught in Dar es Salaam, and he taught in Jamaica, and he came back to the Caribbean. He felt that he had to come back to the Caribbean.
He taught in Dar es Salaam.
He was in Dar es Salaam for many, many years, and he felt he had to go back to the Caribbean. So when he went back to the Caribbean, he went to the Caribbean, but the only time he left the Caribbean was when Robert Gabriel Mugabe and his party gained independence in Guyana. He was under the gun at that particular time. Burnham was gunning for him, but he sneaked out of the... Is it snuck or snuck? Sneak. I speak Ebonics. Yeah, he got out of there. He got out of there, and he went to the independence celebration, and he was getting ready to go to trial in Guyana, and he snuck into the country, into Zimbabwe. Robert Gabriel Mugabe begged him to stay in Zimbabwe and write the history of Zimbabwe, and, you know, offered him a job and so on and so forth. And he refused, came home, and 2 or 3 weeks later, he was assassinated.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He would have been in the same position as Du Bois when Kwame Nkrumah invited Du Bois. It's really case, it really, you know, since he lost his life. I assume some mention was made of that wonderful book. Was it How Colonialism Underdeveloped Africa, or was it Imperialism?
How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. Yeah. Oh, I'll give you a joke. It's not really a joke, but I think that book has been published by Random House.
Yeah.
I guess Lenin that made the statement that, you know, after a certain period of time, you know, what did he say, that the capitalists will sell the rope that could hang themselves, you know. They can make profit.
By the way, they do tend to. That's one of the things they do after famous people are done in. They sell bits of their hair and parts. It's a horrible fact in history. It does happen.
I guess the state and revolution at one time was outselling the Bible, and I don't think the Communist Manifesto is... despite the fact you can get it on the internet, I would think the Communist Manifesto. I wouldn't mind getting the residuals from.
If you follow the stock market as it goes up and down, that's when the the manifesto rises and falls. It seems to be haunting. There's a specter haunting this the stock market. If you could, in the last moments here, encapsulate. So, what did you tell? What was your main point on the night of this forum for Walter Rodney?
My main point was that Walter Rodney was a scholar activist who basically educated Africa and the world about the importance of oppressed people, Africans in particular, and all oppressed people in general, to fight capitalism, imperialism, and to form a united front. Mm-hmm. And he was not into this anti-Indian thing. He was not. He was not a chauvinist. He was basically talking. Well, I guess I could say he was. He believed in the unity of the working class. Period. But he was also myself, I guess he had a special place for the band-bound world in terms of, you know, the people of color, especially in his earlier days, you know, like he believed in the unification of the Africans, Indians, Chinese, and everybody coming up against the, European imperialism, because European imperialism did a number on Africa, Asia, yes, Latin America, and even their own working class.
Yep. Actually, my impression is they're still at it. But Norman Otis Richmond, we're glad you talked at the different book list, 779 Bathurst. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
I'll get up.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Data Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We got a little music. Apropos, a lovely singer is going to sing here.